Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you for tuning in to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening. My name is Dave Schrader. Tonight, we're going to look at alien disclosure. We'll also talk about the Roswell slides. If you're not familiar with this, a new story breaking that possible slides dated to the time of the Roswell crash that may actually, in fact, have photographs of the craft or the aliens that were inside. We'll talk with Bill Burns about that this evening. We'll also take your calls in the second hour if you have questions for our guest. And then in hours three and four, Nigel Watson joins me. UFOs of the First World War. That's what we'll discuss in the third and fourth hour. We'll open up phone lines in hour four for you if you have questions for our guest about that as well. For those of you that are fans of late night television, Jimmy Kimmel had President Bill Clinton on last year, and one of the first questions he went after him about was UFOs and disclosure. Well, following in the same vein, he just had President Barack Obama on the show. Now, we're going to play some audio for you on that, and you'll notice that the president, of course, is being a little tongue-in-cheek. However, he does pose an interesting point that we'll discuss with Bill Burns here in the first segment. Let's go ahead and play that audio.
So this is something I feel like if I was the president, and it's unlikely that that is ever going to happen.
You never know.
If I was the president.
It was unlikely that I was going to be president.
The moment I was inaugurated, my hand would just, it'd still be hot from touching the Bible, and I would immediately race to wherever they have the files about Area 51 and the UFOs, yeah. And I'd go through everything to find out what happened.
Right.
Did you do that?
That's why you will not be president. that's the first thing that you would do.
The
aliens won't let it happen. You reveal all their secrets. They exercise strict control over us.
Now, you know, there are a lot of people that are going to examine your facial expressions here, every twitch, everything, and say, and of course, so did you look? Did you see? Did you explore?
I can't reveal anything.
Oh, really? Because President Clinton said he did go right in, and he did check, and there was nothing.
Well, you know, that's what we're instructed to say. All right.
For years, we've heard about the disclosure aspect of it and the fact that the government may be keeping this from us. Although President Obama did throw it out in a flippant way, we'll talk with Bill Burns, our guest, when we return about the fact, could it be, and has he spoken to insiders that have informed him that maybe it isn't the government keeping the secret, but it is, in fact, the aliens or the visitors that are forcing us to keep the secret from the general populace. We'll talk about that and so much more here on the Best in Overnight Talk Radio. We'll be back with our guest, Bill Burns, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Bill Burns joins me for the first 2 hours of this evening's show. Bill is a New York Times best-selling author, a magazine publisher, and a New York literary publishing agent who has written and edited over 25 books and encyclopedias in the fields of human behavior, true crime, current affairs, history, psychology, business, computing, and the paranormal. Tonight, we're going to discuss with him for the first few hours the remarks that were made earlier this month with outgoing advisor John Podesta about disclosure. We'll also talk about the Roswell slides. But before we launch into that, as I just referenced in the opening section here tonight, Bill, President Barack Obama on the Jimmy Kimmel show throws out kind of flippantly the comment about the fact that the aliens have a pretty tight control over the information. And it sounds in a joking tone, in a joking manner, but have you heard that from any other insiders that maybe it isn't really the government keeping this from us, but the visitors?
Well, sure. I've heard that. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that. And I've heard that that goes all the way back to President Eisenhower's alleged reported meeting with extraterrestrials at Edwards Air Force Base. And as the story goes, this was after the 1952 Washington, D.C. Flying saucer flyover. We've all seen the photographs of that. They were newspaper headlines in the Washington Post, Blue Book. Officer Edwin Ruppelt wrote about that. We know that after that incident, President Harry Truman, in a very rare moment of disclosure, and you could see that video online, said, basically, when asked by the press what happened, he said two key things. These are flying saucers. That's his quote, not mine. And we know what they are. And somehow I think that second aspect of that quote is more important than the first aspect of that quote, that we know what they are. And so ever since then, well, after that, of course, General Sanford went on, told the press that these were just illusions, that the equipment showing these images on radar was malfunctioning. The pilots didn't know what they were seeing. And that was all quietly put to bed. But the real research into that has not been completed. And I've spoken to witnesses to that event. And, of course, Al Chop went public about his being at the control tower, hearing the transmissions between Air Force jets and the tower about chasing these UFOs. So all that took place in the 1950s. And then supposedly after 1952, Eisenhower had this meeting where supposedly a deal was struck in which it's basically don't ask, don't tell. We will not reveal the truth about UFOs that we're seeing and intercepting our aircraft and populating our skies. And, of course, they will not reveal themselves, even though what their business is on planet Earth would probably be only temporary, lasting only a few generations, maybe taking as much DNA as they possibly could without harming the population, and then going on their way. And that's how it's been. But presidents, after Truman and before Obama, have repeatedly made statements about the presence of UFOs. Ronald Reagan, for example, and I'm putting this in context, that's why I'm framing what President Obama said. President Reagan actually went public to the Wall Street Journal, to the Sacramento bureau chief of the Wall Street Journal, explaining that he saw a UFO when he was flying back from Los Angeles to Sacramento, and he had his pilot chase this craft over the Mojave Desert. The craft disappeared, just took off. And he later had another sighting, this time with Nancy Reagan. I'd love to interview her about this. He said, because my source was Lucille Ball, the actress Lucille Ball. And he was on his way down Pacific Coast Highway to a birthday party for William Holden, the actor William Holden. Remember him in Sunset Boulevard, Network. And he saw a UFO over PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, and it flew out over Santa Monica Bay and disappeared. Now, he was wild about this. And although he could not publicly state, and this is where the statement by Obama, we're instructed to say this, comes in, that yes, the United States is dealing with UFOs. He treated it from a witness perspective. This is what I saw, not this is what I know officially. And that was very revealing, and it was subsequent to those sightings that he made a statement, one to Gorbachev, he said, at Reykjavik, the basic standard, what if the Earth were invaded by people from another world? Wouldn't we all put our differences aside and come together? And he repeated the same thing at the United Nations. So why would he say those two things in succession after having his own UFO sightings? The president that preceded him was Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter actually filed a formal UFO sighting report that when he was governor, he saw a craft. And supposedly he said he was going to tell the truth about UFOs to the American public. And then he backed off that after, again, reportedly, someone, I suspect it was Zbigniew Brzezinski, walked into the Oval Office and just said, you will destroy your presidency by violating your oath. And it was also Jimmy Carter, by the way, who, when he was president-elect, asked George H.W. Bush during his CIA briefing for Bush to reveal to him what the CIA knew about UFOs. And reportedly, again, by people who were in the room, Bush said to Carter, Mr. President-elect, you have no need to know. So in other words, this was only on a need-to-know basis. The president doesn't have a need to know. Finally, when Bill Clinton got to the White House, he supposedly tasked Webster Hubble to find out two things. One, who killed JFK? And two, what really happened at Roswell and the whole UFO question? And what Webster Hubble came back to him was he couldn't find anything out, there were no files, and worse, there is an entire government that keeps these secrets from the president. In other words, Bill Clinton actually came forward and said he discovered there was a secret government. So if you put all those statements by former presidents, including Gerry Ford, by the way, who also went to Mendel Rivers when he was in Congress, when Gerry Ford was in Congress after the Hilldale, Michigan sightings, that was Ford's district in Michigan, asking him to investigate this, and Ford was lambasted by the head of Project Blue Book. His name was Quintilla, General Quintilla. And so this is the background for Barack Obama's statement. Obama has joked about Roswell before, and when he did, I really wondered why he would reach that far out to drag in Roswell. What was the point of his saying that? You know, I mean, it just made no sense. There were plenty of other things he could joke about. Why specific to Roswell? So now you get to a statement to Jimmy Kimmel. One, he's clearly dodging the issue. And then he comes right out and says, look, I can't talk about it. And that's exactly the same thing that Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, once said when he was asked on the campaign trail, basically, were you briefed on UFOs? And Dick Cheney's statement was basically, if I had been briefed on UFOs, that briefing would have been classified and I could not talk about it. He didn't say he wasn't briefed. He didn't say he was briefed. He simply said, were he to have been briefed, this would have been his answer. I can't talk about it. And finally, the last thing Obama said was probably true. We're told not to talk about it. We've been instructed not to say anything about it, period. So I think that was probably, though flip, absolutely true, exactly what Obama was saying. And of course, Jimmy Kimmel was correct in saying everybody's going to be looking at you, your facial expressions, what you're saying, because that's important. So I think, yes, Obama was speaking the truth that there was nothing on paper that he had seen, that he can't reveal what he did know, and that they're instructed not to talk about it. That's my parsing of what he said.
I thought it was intriguing that he kind of turned the comment around. It wasn't, and maybe he did that so that he wouldn't seem like there's a government that's controlling his presidency. He made it seem more like the aliens had the upper hand and were the ones telling us who they can and cannot disclose to. So I know that, again, will be something that'll be open for debate. One question maybe you could clear up. I know that there's a story that floats around. Sometimes I hear that it's a hoax, sometimes that it's real. I guess in the biography regarding Jackie Gleason after his passing, his widow tells the story that during a golf outing with President Nixon, he beats Nixon in a golf outing, and Nixon therefore has to take him to see the claimed bodies from the Roswell accident. Is there any truth to that story? First of all, that it was actually in a book and has been reported. Secondly, is there any truth that Jackie Gleason ever said it publicly, or are we just taking the word of a widow at this point?
No, Jackie Gleason did say it publicly. I mean, this I know. And here's the story about Jackie Gleason. In fact, I just finished writing about him in a book about Mickey Rooney. But he and Rooney were competing in the same time slot when Mickey had a TV series that he basically blew off. But the story of Jackie Gleason is this, that the Winter White House was in Florida, or Nixon spent a lot of time in Florida with his friend B.B. Rebozo, and he was a golf buddy of Jackie Gleason. And Gleason reportedly kept, this comes from Gleason, by the way, this is secondhand, but this is Gleason's own statement, okay? He wrote about this in his biography, but this is his own statement. And he was bugging Nixon about he was fascinated by this, and he really wanted to see this. And so Nixon set up for Gleason to view alien artifacts, including a body, at a Florida Air Force Base. Gleason was so shocked by what he saw that he told a lot of people when he was making this motion picture with, and I forget the title of it, with Tom Hanks at Sony, Gleason told people, and I spoke to one of the people he told, that this story was absolutely true. Then this is from Nixon's, this is from Gleason's own mouth, that he did see this. He was so shocked by it, and it actually changed Gleason's life. His widow, Barbara, confirmed what Jackie Gleason had told friends and told folks at Sony, and said that he was a changed man when he came back from having seen this alien. So my opinion, the story is absolutely true. It comes from Gleason's own testimony, not testimony, but his own statements to his friends, including an executive, a very important executive at Sony Pictures, whose name I will not mention, but I know he's a friend.
The movie you were referring to with Tom Hanks, Nothing in Common, I think it was one of his last movies before he passed on. You know, it's always funny. You hear the context of, well, if there really are aliens, why haven't they just landed on the White House lawn? I mean, they practically did. If I remember correctly, I think it was Life magazine from around April of 52 that they did this. Now, I always thought this was an intriguing deal. Here they've got photographs of these craft hovering over the Washington Monument and some of the other buildings there in Washington, D.C. Pretty clear, interesting photographs, yet they elect to put on the cover of Life magazine Marilyn Monroe at the time. Were those photographs doctored? Were they meant to just be like a you know, photoshopped photo at that time to give you an idea of what it looked like? Or were those reported to be the actual photographs of what they were seeing over the skies?
They were real, and they came, and they appeared in newspapers as well. The Washington Post, that was the headline. And they were taken by photographers. They weren't taken by the government. They weren't doctored. And these were not the only instances. This was July 1952 on two successive weekends. And the story about this is fascinating, the backstory, because the person who writes about it is Edward Ruppelt, Captain Ruppelt, who was the head of Project Blue Book. And this was in his own book about the reality of UFOs. And Donald Kehoe also wrote about this, saying that General Samford, who was the head of Air Force Intelligence at the time, he was the one who gave that very famous press conference about why these were all illusions. They were radar ghost images. They were temperature inversions. The pilots didn't know what they were seeing. The air traffic controllers weren't sure what they were seeing. All a big mix-up, folks. Nothing here. Move along. That's what Samford said. What Kehoe wrote about that was that Samford wrestled mightily with his conscience about saying that. He knew that he was lying. And one of the people counseling General Samford was General Roger Ramey, the very famous Roger Ramey, who was the head of the 8th Air Force at the time of the Roswell incident, who, according to a statement filed and assigned and notarized and filed by Walter Hout, the public information officer of the 509th Army Air Force Base in Roswell, said that Ramey came to Roswell, conducted a staff meeting with Blanchard and the other officers, and that's when they cooked up the cover-up involving Jesse Marcel and the weather balloon. So very important guy, Roger Ramey. Supposedly he was counseling General Samford about not to reveal the truth, but then President Truman pops up and says, these are flying saucers, we know what they are. Ruppelt looks the whole thing as, what a pain in the neck this was for my career. Here I'm stationed out in Ohio at Wright Field, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and I've got to go back to Washington, back and forth. I can't do my job because I'm always flying back and forth to Washington. And he tells the story of how our most important pilots, our war pilots from the Korean War, were shot down, were lost in trying to nail down, trying to capture and shoot down these UFOs. And in fact, in a book called Shoot 'Em Down by Frank Fischino, Fischino did extraordinary research into that entire event, And it turns out that he discovered that at least two UFOs were shot down by our own Air Force jets, because we were using radar-controlled guns, and they shot them down, and one of them crashed in Braxton County, West Virginia, and to this day, there is still kind of a mini celebration about something called the Flatwoods Monster, this defensive kind of robot mechanism that protected the craft that was shot down until other craft arrived and were able to effect repairs and the craft took off.
Bill, we have to take a break. Hold on to that. We'll talk more with Bill Burns about disclosure, about what John Podesta had to say on his way out of office, and so much more. You're listening to Coast AM. As John Podesta, senior advisor to President Barack Obama, stepped down from his post on Friday, February 13th, he tweeted that his biggest regret about leaving the administration was some unfinished UFO business. His actual tweet said, "Finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again, not securing the disclosure of the UFO files." And then he hashtagged, "The truth is still out there," while copying the New York Times. Podesta has a long-standing interest in UFOs that came to light after his first tour in the White House as President Bill Clinton's chief of staff between 1998 and 2001. He has encouraged the powers to be to come clean about unexplained UFO cases. And it's unclear exactly what trove of files Podesta meant, but his tweet renewed demands from UFO watchers that politicians open any and all files about outer space visitors. We'll ask our guest, Bill Burns, about that comment. Was it just another fun, flippant comment from a politician on his way out to stir a little controversy? Or is there more sting behind the comments that were made? We'll cover that with our guest, Bill Burns, on Coast to Coast AM right after this. Outgoing senior advisor to Barack Obama, John Podesta, on February 13th, revealed in a tweet, of all things, that he wished that he had been able to get more done when it came to the disclosure of UFOs. Bill, what do you make of a comment like that from somebody in such a high position and so close to the president? Again, was this just a fun little parting shot, or do you believe that there was some weight behind his comments?
Oh, no, I believe there was real weight behind this comment. Podesta has been adamant. He is for open government. That is, I mean, he said that before. So the UFO, his UFO tweet really was only something that he's been advocating for years. His advocacy is that the government is keeping too many secrets, basically his statement. And he thinks that the government files, and there are government files on UFOs, they're almost secret. They're irrelevant secrets that he believes, and I'm sure he thinks he knows what they are and where they are. Again, he was a chief of staff to Bill Clinton, and Clinton himself mentioned that the United States has a secret government. My thought is that Podesta knows about the secret government, knows some of the secrets the secret government keeps, and among those secrets are the secrets of UFOs. When he and Leslie Kane were investigating the UFO crash, and I'm calling it a UFO crash, just nobody knows what it was, at Kecksburg from back in 1965. And they launched a lawsuit to open up the files that NASA had on that crash, because NASA was part of the retrieval group to take the object away. When they launched that lawsuit, Podesta made this blanket statement. And they won the lawsuit, by the way. NASA didn't disclose anything, but they nevertheless got a court to order NASA to disclose the files it had on Kecksburg. Podesta said that the government just kept too many secrets. So he's been saying this for a while. He was part of the Kecksburg lawsuit. And so I would expect that since both Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have a keen interest in what secrets the government has about UFOs, that Podesta, now that he's going to be a key advisor, a key strategic advisor to Hillary Clinton's nascent presidential campaign, is going to have any influence if she does in fact become president and is going to push for disclosure of those files. And there are those files. I mean, one of the, I just completed a book on Mickey Rooney. And in the course of that book, I got to know Mickey's widow, Mickey's family, his children. And it turns out that Mickey Rooney's father-in-law, Red Chamberlain, once told his children, this comes out of nowhere, by the way, he worked for Kelly Johnson at Skunk Works, and he was in the Army Air Force. And he told his children flat out that he knows there are government files on UFOs. He did work in the top secret capacity for Skunk Works. He knows about the UFO files, and he said they will never be released to the public because all the world's religions would collapse if those files were ever released. And I had an opportunity, actually, this morning to ask Edgar Mitchell about that. We did an interview. And although Edgar Mitchell didn't know the story, he felt that human society was far more capable of accepting the truth about what might be in any UFO files. And he didn't really think that religion would collapse because he felt that religion would embrace, belief systems would embrace the fact that there was extraterrestrial life. So Podesta is more than a true believer. He actually knows that such files exist, and he will push for that if he's involved with the Hillary Clinton administration, should she win a general election next year.
No president has been capable of breaking that code of silence and getting the information out there. What makes you think that there'll be a difference with Hillary Clinton?
I don't. I think that there will be urgings to get the secrets out there, but I think what Barack Obama said makes perfect sense. What other presidents have said makes perfect sense, that the presidents really have no need to know, or at least no need to know from a public perspective. First of all, I think that one CIA covert officer told me that most of the UFO material is held by NGOs, non-government organizations, because the government doesn't really want it. Another person, in fact, John Schussler himself, the head of MUFON, told me that, and he worked for NASA, that there are entities within the governmental bureaucracy called special access projects, SAP, special access projects. And this is where the government keeps UFO secrets, this is where they would be, especially in places like NASA, where there is a group inside NASA that shares information about UFOs and what they've learned, but that information is closely locked up. So it would take a real effort on the part of anybody working in the White House to dislodge these files, and plus the fact that the president really does not have the highest security clearance. A president has a security clearance only for what kinds of things he's able to talk about. I keep thinking about the debates, but I want to say between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan in the 1980 presidential campaign. And when Jimmy Carter inadvertently disclosed the fact that we had a stealth bomber, he knew about it, but he wasn't supposed to know about it, or he wasn't supposed to talk about it. And that caused really a minor flap when he disclosed that. So there are things that presidents are not supposed to know, at least publicly, and certainly not supposed to talk about. So when Barack Obama said, we're told not to talk about that, I think he was telling the absolute unvarnished truth.
You know, when you talk about the fact that, well, religions may fall, religion already seems to be falling. It's being taken out of schools. It's being taken out of government. It's being, you know, shelved. The Pope is coming forward, his advisors are coming forward, and people like that saying, you know, okay, if they are out there, we'd accept them one-on-one. It seems everybody in the world is willing to open up to this and discuss this except for our government. Then you look at the fact, okay, there's so much words about, well, all of these other governments, Canada and France, Germany, some of these countries have come forward, England, and released information, but the information they've released is really, I don't know that there's really any ground-shaking information in any of those stories that they've released either. I mean, I'm sure you've pored over all of those files. Are there real cases and real stories in there that we haven't already heard of, that anything that would really open up the world to say, listen, this is what Russia has released. This is an amazing historical reference that they say is definitely alien. Or is it more just speculative? Well, we had something, reported, and we're still, blacking out most of what's actually, redacting most of what's actually being released.
I think there generally is a consensus among world governments that they're not going to release information about this, at least not individually. I mean, there are stories. I mean, when you mention Russia and stories coming out of the old Soviet Union about their version of Area 51, which was this base called Kapustin Yar, a top secret Soviet Air Force base in which they reportedly did have craft. There are stories about UFO battles over the old Soviet Union. One of the most intriguing stories for me was a story about a UFO crash in the area around Kyrgyzstan near the old Silk Road. And supposedly when a group of UFO hunters, for want of a better term, went up into that area to explore, not only did their equipment fail as they approached the craft, they began getting sick, their watches stopped, all kinds of anomalies took place, and they couldn't proceed, so they retreated. The Russians retrieved that object from that area, and basically with their own version of a sky crane, carried it away. And when researchers went back years later, the atmospheric and electrical anomalies in the area still remained. And these stories, there are, if not 20, there are like hundreds of these stories from various countries. The Belgium story about F-16s chasing down a flying triangle which outflew them. The RAF Bentwaters story about the craft that landed in Rendlesham Forest. The story of the UFO triangle over the Comfort Air Base in the UK. These are all stories that various researchers with various specialties know about that have reached the public, including our own Kecksburg in Pennsylvania in 1965. But and I think that the weight of these stories is solid evidence. It was funny because Edgar Mitchell said to me this morning that he sees a lot of these stories as simply stories, that his big issue is something else having to do with UFOs, not so much the fact that they exist. He's actually gone beyond that into why they're here and what messages they're trying to give us. But I think the weight of these stories is substantial enough to say, yeah, everybody kind of knows that these stories exist and that there are so many eyewitnesses. And even if some of the people argue over photos, as the ones that were just, you've been talking about, even if they argue about those, these stories really do exist, and there is really verifiable proof that these stories are real.
I had a very strange opportunity. I've seen things in the sky. Bill, I've gone out to James Gilliland's ranch out in Washington, Trout Lake, Washington, at the Isetti Ranch. I've seen things in Wisconsin in the skies. One of the weirdest experiences I ever had, I was at hosting an event at Eastern State Penitentiary, right in downtown Philadelphia. And during a paranormal investigation, a bunch of people were trekking through the prison and investigating. I'd gone outside and standing outside talking to a bunch of the smokers, and we were just out there chit-chatting, and I love to look at the stars in the sky, so I had drawn my attention up there when I saw this light just moving across the sky, and I pointed it out. About 5-6 of us were sitting there watching this light, and as it flew over, it stopped almost like it was directly up above us. And we were all just kind of looking at, well, what the hell is that? What is that thing? And then you could hear from the distance, you just heard this, and this light took off like I've never seen things move in my life. This light took off, and coming across the sky were these two black jets that were in pursuit. When this thing started to move and you saw the plane start to cross the path of right over top of Eastern State Penitentiary, this thing was gone in literally an instant. And the planes were just, you could still see them trailing, but there was absolutely nothing in front of them that you could physically see. When something like this is happening over a major metropolitan city, and there are calls like this going out constantly. I mean, the famous audio over Illinois where this large football field-sized craft, this, what, like 30-story building football field-sized craft is going over jurisdiction after jurisdiction, and the operators are speaking with the, you know, dispatchers are speaking with the different police officers who think it's a joke at first, and then each one begins to see this. We're having these major eyewitness events that are going on. If they're going to make themselves that known, and it's that prevalent in around the world, Bill, why is it that they're jerking around? Why not just finally land straight out and let the world know that they're there, and then take off once all the photographs have been taken, once everything's been handled? It just seems strange to me that we're seeing these things in such massive ways, but you know, there's still all of this. It was, you know, an air balloon. It was a weather pattern. This wasn't a weather pattern that I saw flying over Eastern State Penitentiary that two black jets came tearing after in the sky.
Well, on the one hand, I think that it is up to whoever is navigating those craft to decide whether to disclose itself by landing or not. That's where I think there really is some sort of an agreement. About a don't ask, don't tell. They're in the sky. We surveil them. They surveil us. I've heard very similar stories over Philadelphia, Bucks County, 2008, 2009, about lights in the sky. This one woman in Levittown, which is in Bucks County, basically said very much the same thing that you're saying, that a light was hovering over her property, that it was very low, very large, moving very slowly, slower than a helicopter or an aircraft, no sound, and then was shining a beam down, and where the beam hit, things aged so rapidly, they aged overnight, and she even had temporal distortion. So I've heard that story, versions of that story before, talking about the Holland, Michigan sighting where you have somebody working for the National Weather Service. We interviewed him on UFO Hunters. He was freaking out because as he described what he was seeing on radar over the Great Lakes, a police officer on the ground in Michigan was seeing exactly the same thing and seeing the real craft. And so, yes. I think it's their decision about whether they're going to make themselves amenable to being photographed on the ground or not. And when Gordon Cooper told the story about a landing at Edwards Air Force Base in the 1970s of a craft, he said that there was a landing, that he'd seen films of that landing, and that supposedly a group of personnel came from Washington, took the films, nobody ever saw them again. So I think there is a kind of agreement between them and between our government and other governments that, no, you don't reveal this.
Well, it seems like, but don't you find that kind of a strange agreement, yet they show themselves en masse around the world to so many people? It seems like if it's a craft, if it's something that they want to keep secret, if it's something that is don't ask, don't tell kind of deal, then why put yourselves over these massive populated areas and show it? And I know there's a lot of the speculation that it is our craft, and maybe what they're doing is they're testing to see what we are going to think of things this large. What is the public reaction going to be? Is it going to be pure panic and rage in the streets? Is it going to be simple, oh, okay, that was weird, and move over, which is what it seems to really be. I mean, where do you weigh in on that?
Well, on the one hand, the idea of panic in the streets, that comes out of a study by the RAND Corporation. But all the way back in Princeton in the 1930s, Frank Stanton, who ultimately became the president of CBS, he was doing psychological research there at Princeton, and the Rockefeller Foundation funded the Orson Welles' Mercury Theater of the Air to do the radio drama of War of the Worlds. So this was funded by the Rockefellers at Princeton in 1938. So this was not suddenly Orson Welles' brainchild. And what happened was that the stories of panic in the streets during that radio broadcast were made up. They never they didn't happen. Because in during the commercial breaks, there were announcements that this is a drama. This is not real. Right. This is a fiction. This is H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. But the stories of panic in the streets were made up by this psychological research group headed up by Frank Stanton. That was the basis for the RAND study, that were UFOs to be revealed, there would be panic in the streets. There probably
Bill Burns, Bill, we have to take our top of the hour break. Bill Burns, our guest, we'll have him here with us for the next hour. We'll also open up phone lines if you have questions for our guest, so feel free to give us a call. The CIA claims that top secret aircraft are responsible for the UFO sightings during the 40s and the 50s. The Roswell slides and more. That's what we'll cover here on Coast to Coast AM.